Hey, everybody, we're back.
We're back. We're back.
Boy, that's scary. I'm now trying to get us all on.
Poltergeist?
Yeah, it is Poltergeist.
I hope people that were listening knew what that was.
Yeah, we had a couple weeks off with, the family stuff and
our
holidays.
Winter hiatus.
And yeah, so it's very hard to get back. It's not hard to get back. I was actually looking forward to this.
I was too.
Yeah, because I just, feel like there was always something missing when I was be able to sleep in the last two Saturdays.
Oh, I didn't.
No. I don't think I did kidding. Either.
No, I did miss you, though. We haven't seen each other in a couple of weeks.
I know. It's crazy. We actually, on the 23rd, we went out to Buffalo for the Twitch show out there.
Which was interesting. It was the Intune Festival, and it was the mission was to raise awareness for opiate overdoses and opiate epidemic. But I feel like the message was kind of lost in there a little bit because it was held
At a bar, and most of the people there were drinking,
which
was funny.
Yeah, people avoided us like the plague, though. We had a table set up, and I think like one person came up to
us. Well, because they saw the words, because we have it says Sober Life Radio. But they really, really hung out with that psychedelic lady.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one you have a couple of mushrooms and get
high. We got to get her on the air talking about a treatment, which is an actual thing. They've done some research into the benefits of hallucinogens in regards
to
trauma
treatment. I slept with the ugliest women alone when I was on hallucinogens. So.
It was therapeutic for you?
That was very therapeutic.
Processing it the next day?
Well, yeah, because my first five girlfriends are prostitutes. Yeah.
But it was a good festival. I'm glad we went. We got to see a lot of good musicians. And obviously, we were there to support Twitch yet again. So
who was amazing. Mm-hmm. Who wasn't drinking, by the way. But the rest of, it's just a very interesting, that was an interesting night.
Yeah.
And it's all, another thing too, we don't normalize this enough. And I think that's what we try to do on the show is normalize recovery and normalize being sober. So we should, I don't ever see us ever having an event at a bar, but,
We'll make our appearances because that is part of the cause right now is normalizing it. I remember a day where, I felt like the odd man out. Being places because I'm like, I'm the only one that can't drink or whatever. And we're not. There's other people out there, but a lot of people just don't want to talk about it.
So we had club soda and a steak that was very tough. I'm not going to say where we got it. But with plastic furniture. But no, how was your holidays?
My holidays were all right. Christmas is a little rough for me. I lost my mom, so I always miss her around this time of year, but that's normal. New Year's was interesting for me. We'll talk about this a little bit because I think we have a lot of people listening and a lot of people in different, whatever parts of their recovery, early recovery or whatnot. But so normally for New Year's, I don't really do much. Kind of hang out, with family or, whatever, just very low key. But this year, we had a wedding to go to.
I was good. When you said you were at a wedding, I said, wow, what a crazy place to be on New Year's Eve.
And they're not partiers per se, the people who were getting married. But I started early on to have these weird feelings, like feelings of like reminiscing of New Year's Eve past, which I'm not going to get too into it. But my goal was always to get as much of everything as possible, make sure I was set for New Year's Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I started to get these weird feelings, like reminiscing, starting to have some like jealousy or, euphoric recall, whatnot.
Right.
By the time the wedding started, I actually started to have like some full on, I don't want to say cravings, but like I was just very uncomfortable.
Right.
And at one point I'm making coffee and I drop a coffee, like the powdered coffee creamer on the counter and it looked like cocaine.
Right.
And all of a sudden I had, again, this euphoric recall. Oh, yeah. Like, man, for a split second, I'm like, how,
Yeah, you play that tape.
Doing coke on New Year's Eve, right?
Our coffee creamer.
But then we get into the reception hall after the wedding, and are we not seated at the table right in front of the bar? I'm like, I can't deal with these drunk people all night long. And it ended up being fine. I told Tracy what was going on for me, and it ended up being fine. But that was the first time in years that I had any sort of uncomfortable feelings around New Year's Eve, and I realized it was because I'm actually out someplace doing things instead of just being at home.
Watching the ball drop.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's the same. No, it's very interesting because I'm a person too that just stays home normally.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve. One, I don't want to get killed by someone else that's going to run into me. But two, it doesn't, Right. It's I don't like to be around people that mm-hmm. are just completely out of their yeah. minds.
And I lucked out. The crowd, they were really great. There was really nobody that was over intoxicated. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't even bring out like champagne for a toast or anything. So it was pretty laid back. And like really? I said, early on, I was able to move past that. But I just figured it was worth talking about, because no matter how much time you have clean or sober, sometimes those feelings can kind of, you know, I don't know, creep up on you.
Well, it's just like when you go to church. So, you know, my daughter's. Now they confirm kids in the Catholic Church very early on, like mm-hmm. really early. So, you know, and then my kids, you know, they got to go to communion because my, you know, both of them like to slam back that wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're doing shots. So I look at them like, you know, you want you, you know, it's just, but it's like any of those kind of situations, you're very, it's just uncomfortable still. And they used to have places that have like, they used to give you sparkling. What is it? Grape juice, or
yeah.
they'd have regular wine. Or they don't. Most Catholic churches, they, you know, they're right. pouring old Manischewitz in there, I think. But it's like, yeah, it's kind of tough. But no, that's yeah. And I think a lot of people go through that, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. especially on New Year's Eve. And then you're gonna have a now you're gonna hoe into the gray winter, you know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But that's what are like places like Recovery Fitness.
Yeah.
Come in and those kind of things.
They're still
I'm sure.
doing their stuff. They're still, they just, actually, I wanted to do this trip, but I couldn't because of the wedding. They went to Whiteface Mountain.
I New saw
Year's
that.
Eve. Yeah.
Holy cow. That looks scary
yeah.
and look cold, but I still want to do that.
So you we warm up pretty quickly.
Well, yeah, I wasn't able to go last time, but I want to go.
I've been getting the winter time. Blues, and I've been encouraging myself because during the summertime, I used to walk for 3 miles on my lunch break at work.
Right.
And I stopped doing that because it's been cold out. I'm like, you know what?
Just go out.
Yeah, I have been.
Bundle up.
The past week, I've been bundling up and still walking the canal for 3 miles on lunch. And I'll tell you what, I feel so much better.
See, I have to start. I mean, I'm just getting winter fat. That's all I'm doing because I'm not doing anything.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm running. And I'm in a rehab all day where I'm just locked up all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm not, it's just hard to get out and no. move around. But I have
self-care. You got to take care of yourself.
You do have to take care of yourself. Also, like, Casa Trinity, we should probably talk about them. They just opened up another, I'm trying to think where, it was another center.
Hmm.
But I should probably know that if I'm going to start giving them like a lot of kudos. But but I, you know, it's so funny because I'm amazed at her because she just continues to take over that whole
mm-hmm.
Southern world
yeah.
that she's doing because there's such a need for it.
Well, yeah.
And she's just not haphazardly. But yeah, so Casa Trinity, again, you earn my loyalty and respect for just being able to reach out and taking risks. Because that is a risk when you open another clinic
mm-hmm.
and hoping they're going to make it. But they really, really, really have a strong desire to help everybody in the community.
Yeah. We can use as many resources as we can get.
I know.
Which leads me.
Why?
I was talking to Joel about this earlier. I just felt like I had to say this on the air today. I saw somebody posting a family member of someone that passed away from a heroin overdose. And they were going on about this person and, you know, how many times they had been in inpatient and detox and outpatient and the whole nine. And they had just spent a lengthy, I'm talking about over a year, mm-hmm. Lengthy period of time in residential treatment.
Sure.
They got out. Unfortunately, person died, relapsed and died. But in the very next sentence, this person was saying how there's, you know, a lack of resources. And I'm yeah. thinking, this you just listed 15 resources
oh,
that
sure.
this person utilized. Because at what point is it not about there being, you know, not enough or enough resources? There's no magical pill or no magical
there is
cure.
There's a treatment center around every corner now. I mean, there is. It's, I mean, I always thought, and really, I used to tell people the person decides to get sober at the business office when they're checking in.
Mm-hmm.
Many do. They decide at that point. I don't know what you're going to think you're going to hear at a rehab that's going to change mm-hmm. your mind. Maybe you do. It might be an old movie I throw on.
And this person was also very connected to the recovery community, too.
Right.
You know, I could just tell by the number of mutual friends and whatnot mm-hmm. we have on social media. They were connected. They had the resources. At one point, they were utilizing the resources. So sometimes it's not a matter of a lack of resources. I know that's the first thing people say.
No.
There's not enough resources. There's not enough resources. And I agree. To some extent, there are not enough resources.
Yeah.
We need more. We could always use more. But sometimes that's not it. That's not it. Sometimes
right.
it's just the disease of addiction. And unfortunately, some people make it and some people don't.
That's the sad part about it. And some people who have made it that I know will have gone to several treatment centers and at the end say, you know, I'm not going back to the treatment center. I need this to take. I need to go do something. I need
that's
to,
how I got.
Right, you have to go do something.
Yeah, I was sick of being in the cycle. I'm like, this is not working. I'm going to do something different. And for me, that's what worked. And it's just sad because, the cliche saying now, we do recover. But we do. Recovery is possible. And it's really sad when I see another person that's gone because of addiction because it didn't have to be that way. But again, that's the disease of addiction.
And the hard thing is, it's very, very, and I'm, you know, let's play it all out there. Very, very, very few people go to a treatment center one time, walk away, and never use again.
Yeah.
It's rare. Out of 30 clients, you might have one that does that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that goes back to, the 100-year-old, statement that you really have to want to get well, and that's so true because... Yeah. You know, nothing's going to happen unless you really want to at least be open to it or at least believe you have a problem. That's another problem with this.
Well, I think a lot of people, too, like really do want to get clean, but there's other things that are holding them back from doing that. Because I don't know a lot of people professionally or personally that didn't want to get clean, like in the long run. I think, you know, people have periods where they're enjoying it. They're on an upswing.
Right.
You know, they have money and access and things are going okay, but then you hit that bottom again where
they're not connected to anything. Connection is everything. If you're not connected,
absolutely.
If you're not connected with something, that's the problem. You have to have connections
alone.
In your life.
Yeah.
You have to have purpose. Mm-hmm. You have to know what that is, and then you have to be connected.
Yeah.
Which is everything. And there's actually a TED Talk. The British journalist.
I know what you're talking about,
who talked about that. And, you know, it is true. I mean, don't always blame it, because that is true. And he said, look at your grandmother who's had hip surgery. She'd be a blown out, drug addict by now. But grandma has tons of connections, tons of family, tons of everything. Right. And that's what it is. I mean, there's so much, we look at the symptoms of this disease. It's always, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
It's the use itself is just one symptom of the entire problem, and we can go on and on and on about
right it, and I think most people that are listening know that. So
but what else it's so funny, and I don't want to slam a lot of businesses, but I want to want to talk about Christmas. So I was down to this restaurant. I don't want to give their name, but I will say, there's like the name bread in it, and it sounds like Pantera.
Yeah, Pantera bread. Yeah.
Right, Pantera bread.
Yeah.
Right. And if you go there, you see all these long lines, and they always ask you, do you want to be, is takeout or seated? Most people say seated. But you'd think there would be a little thing on the girl's cash register says, we have too many people sitting. Because what happens when you go there is then you go and your food comes up, and there's literally no place to sit for at least a half hour. And then when I brought up to the kid, he goes, you can, and I see these two little girls running around. They're all excited because it's getting close to Christmas. He goes, you can go eat in your car. But he actually looked at me.
He seriously said that to you?
Yeah, you want to buy. And I said, I'm like, how insane that even sounds, and that you would even say that. But then I sort of liked his raw honesty, no one's counting. he's probably 19 years old.
I didn't realize that he actually said that to you.
Right.
Go eat in your car.
It's like, that is so sad.
I'm just surprised that that place is still so busy.
It is busy. But I'm telling you right now, if you're listening and you have anything to do with that company, please talk to your general management. I think that's...
expanding the law of supply and demand. There's
Dave.
A big supply.
Said, it's missing in its... Well, now they there's another restaurant right next to it now about...
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but it's another whole life. I've tried to eat better this year because I've been eating crap. I didn't even have a donut this morning. I went through Dunkin' Donuts and actually got the flatbread.
Oh, are you a New Year's resolution person?
No.
Okay.
No, I went to my doctor yesterday. He said, you need to get off this crap or you're going to die. So that usually does it for me for at least a couple of months until I forget that they said that. But no, I'm not at all a resolutions person.
Yeah,
I've always been active. It's just that when I work at a rehab all day.
Yeah, I just feel like the time is now. Like, there's no right time. Like, plays perfectly into addiction and recovery. How many times did we or other people say, you know what? Next week, I'm gonna start on Monday. I'm gonna stop using. I'm gonna stop drinking on Monday.
Right.
Monday comes. it's the middle of the month. You know what?
Yeah.
I want my clean date to be, you know, the first of the month.
I want an even number.
Yeah, first of the month comes. Oh, you know what, though? My dad's birthday is on the... I want my clean date to be my dad's birthday. And then, you know, right. 2 years later, it's like...
You just... And our thing, too, you have to get through some of these events sober to get through them again sober. So, like,
oh, yeah.
New Year's Eve, Christmas,
yep.
Anything that you played out in your life, circle it before you get to it. Yeah, and then realize... That if you can get through that event.
Yeah. Well, they say another notch in your belt, and it was kind of like that. You know, each time that you do something, you.
Well, yeah, I have a guy. I don't know if it's. I'm also a tattoo guy, but there's a guy in Rosedale, California? Roseville? Named Wild Bill Hill. And he just celebrated 41 years of sobriety.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's longer than I've been alive.
So he went ahead. And he talked about his story, but he said what he did, after the fifth or sixth DWI and all these fights, his father said, well, don't you think you have a problem? He goes, well, yeah, maybe. He goes, I'll tell you what, I won't drink for 1 year, and I will get well. So when the year came up, he actually popped a beer and sat in front of him, and he just started playing back all that stuff mm-hmm. and how good he felt this whole year.
Yeah.
And was that, and then it, finally he had clarity until that moment mm-hmm. that he realized, wow, if I drink this,
done.
It's like, where am I going to be? And he did it the same. And he goes, well, maybe one. And this is how he did it. Well, you know what? Let me try one more year. You talk about step at a time and a year at a time. But he did the same thing the second year. And he realized, and 41 years later, he's still sober. He doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But it was, to me, that's just a fascinating story. That's how he had to play it out in his head. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
So we're getting close to that time.
Who do we have today?
Well, we have Bobble. That's his nickname. His real name is Chris, but he's a rapper at Recovering Artists Worldwide.
Right.
And he's got an interesting story. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to break. We're going to play a couple of his songs.
And bring them on.
And bring them on. So you'll have a chance to hear some of his music.
And where's he out of?
He's out of Florida.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
So yeah, so this is Bobo.
Bones, grace can tone, popping methadone. I feel like I'm nobody, but I'm really well known. Gotta remind myself, I can't do this on my own. Suffocating. suffocating, asphyxiating. Pain inside is devastating, isolating, not relating. Gasping for air, but I can't breathe. Deceived by my demons, my past won't leave. Given the keys to success, but I forgot the keys. I'm sick of praying on my knees. Broken home, every night I pray my mom comes home. I'm a child within, but they tell me I'm grown. Left with this broken soul, I can spit my feelings on this microphone. When you relate, you don't need to feel alone. They say my sins have paid my way to hell. For many years, I was stuck on a carousel. I used to want to end it safe and well, but I wasn't ready for eternity in hell. Release my soul, I've done my time, paid my toll. I just want to change and grow old. I can't do this on my own. Now I welcome the rain when it pours. Don't sit in sorrow anymore. Now I welcome the rain when it pours.
When it rains, it pours, it never goes away. When it rains, oh, oh, I'm gonna go back to the place where I was free. When it rains, oh,
all right, you were just listening to Release Me featuring Josio by Bobble and When It Rains by Bobble featuring Anna. And we have Bobble on the phone with us right now. Bobble, how's it going, man?
What up, what up?
What's up?
How's it going? You're actually in Florida today?
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm chilling in about probably 80-degree weather right now.
I'm not even going to lie. I'm so jealous right now.
We're at 10-degree weather. Are you from Florida?
Yeah, I'm from Clearwater.
Oh, okay.
Born and raised. That's like the rehab mecca of the world right now. You guys got a lot of recovery going on down there.
Well, yeah, it's the recovery capital of the world. I'm actually down here in South Florida in Palm Beach, which is the recovery capital of the world.
How did that happen? I mean, do you know, like, what made it the recovery capital?
That's a good question. 'Cause I'm not originally from here. I came down here to get clean.
Right.
And stayed?
I mean, there's like a rehab on every corner.
That's yeah.
Amazing. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's just, and that's the thing. It's so funny because they advertise up here, all the way up here. We're in Rochester, and every morning if you get on the TV, it's every rehab in Florida is advertising to come down there.
Yeah. No, they. I've actually worked in the treatment field. They advertise everywhere. I mean, a lot of it is because, like, when I travel the country with the label, there's a lot of cities that don't even know there's help, which kind of made me drop my jaw the first time.
Wow.
But so I'm taking it that's why they do it. Or some cities only have, like, government ones, so, you know, they advertise, like, the private rehab stuff.
That's cool. Well, speaking of the label, hun, so you're on Recovering Artists Worldwide, right?
Yes, I am. I am with the Great Raw, as I would say.
Nice. Well, since we just played a couple of your songs, we played Release Me and When It Rains, and those are both released through RAW?
Yeah, they're both released through RAW. There's actually three of us on the label, myself, Joe Nestor, and Jenna Nicole.
Okay.
And one of the cool thing is we're all different genres of music. Most labels are one-minded.
Mm-hmm.
With us, Joe does acoustic. He kind of has his own unique style. I do the hip-hop. And then Jenna is like a soulful singer.
Right.
And almost like Katy Perry type of deal.
Yeah, I've heard all of you guys, and you're great, you know, in your own.
I definitely appreciate it. I mean, the thing is, too, it's not like just some, hole-in-the-wall label either. Like, I'm in over 250 stores worldwide. All of us are.
No, that's
so
great.
It's definitely been a fun experience. I have I'm kind of the managed, I am the management in the label too, so I'm not just an artist. Most people have figured this out already.
But do you think the hip-hop genre, because we also, Twitch from up here. It seems like the message comes across very well, at least to the, to the people that we're working with in the hip hop genre, as far as recovery. It's interesting how it's taken that turn, because it was sort of flipped over when it was, and maybe you were, doing it then when it was just talking about guns and drugs and everything go bad, and now it's like it's sort of flipping into the recovery side of the house.
Well, yeah, so. It's kind of funny and it's bad to say this, but it's just the truth of it. So recovery has kind of become like the cool thing.
Yep.
Right.
And I say it's a good thing because whatever gets them here.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, it's bad that it's kind of becoming a trend.
Oh, yeah.
Because then they have the wrong motives. I mean, I actually helped start the label.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, I know for me, like a decision to be selfish and do the old gangster music I used to do and make a living that way. Or, I could put my pride aside and help other artists develop a professional career because most people don't know how to do it professionally. They think they do.
Right.
But they have no idea. That's why they usually flop. So it's like, that's kind of what RAW is a label that helps. There's so much talent in recovery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah.
And no one knows what to do with any of it. So it was like kind of started to help artists develop a professional career. You know what I mean? But like you're saying with hip hop, that a lot of people are doing the recovery stuff now. And I don't know, again, it's like the cool thing the last couple of years, so a lot of guys have been switching over. You know, I did it more personally because I was tired of doing gangster rap. Mm-hmm. I was tired of spreading that message. That's the reason I relapsed. I had over 3 years clean because I was still living old behaviors because of the music I was doing. So go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you know, obviously I want you to finish what you're going to say, but if you could talk a little bit about that, like, you know, what your life used to be like, what your lifestyle used to be like, and kind of, you know, what happened, what brought you to the place that you're at right now?
I grew up, I was a kid that I played sports. Football was my biggest sport. So I never really dived into drugs at a young age like most people. I mean, I drank a little and smoked weed a little, but I never touched anything hard. Kind of my background is I've lived in the suburbs half my life and I've lived in the ghetto half my life. It's literally almost like a 50-50 split.
Right.
And I always hung out, I always say, I don't like seeing bad people. I hung out with people making the wrong choices, yep. Mm-hmm. But I never got involved. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Once I lost sports, everything changed. So I also come from a background. My mom was, some people don't like this word, but I don't care. I speak my mind.
Do it.
My mom was a junkie too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I grew up with that, a very abusive household. So I guess it's a lot of it turned around once I lost what I stayed away from drugs for. You know, all my friends that were like, hey, you could sell drugs and make money, or you could join this like gang. Like, I always told them no because I had football. Once that was out the water, I don't know why I decided just to jump into everything. But, mm-hmm. You know, let's just say without getting into war stories that I went from staying away to everything to literally getting involved in everything within like 2 months.
Wow.
So, and I know I personally lived that way for about 4.5-5 years where my life on a daily basis was gangbanging, selling drugs. And it's crazy because my life is... I've been on both sides of the fence for mostly anything in my life. So I went from the guy that was hustling that actually had quite a bit of money and a lot of material objects to the junkie that was homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was kind of crazy going from the one side to the other. It sucked. But, you know, I'm an addict. I guess that's what happens eventually. But, I mean, that's pretty much... was my life for like 4.5-5 years on a daily basis. You know what I mean? That's all I did. And again, I don't like getting into like the detailed stories because we have them. You know, there's no point of, I could tell you stories for literally a year straight.
Exactly.
Right.
We're very similar when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure you guys will be half of them anyway. So yeah. That's why I don't even, there's no point of doing it. You know what I mean?
No. Now, were you making music during this time that you were... into that like hustling lifestyle? Were you were creating music too?
Well, so I started with music when I was sorry about that.
No,
I would say like between 13 and 15 somewhere.
Okay.
I just started off, I know I was in middle school with like a band doing rock rap type of music. So like Linkin Park style type mm-hmm. of music. But no, when I first started hustling, I wasn't doing anything. But because of the guy I was selling coke with, he actually got a pretty good name in the rap industry. So my music, my rap career actually got started by, I was hype manning him for years.
Okay.
So, and... you know, kind of how it started for me is I'm one of these very observant people.
Mm-hmm.
Like even now, I go somewhere, I'll just be quiet and just watch.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Same here.
So when I was going to all these business meetings with this guy, I would just soak it all in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I was curious how he was getting this huge buzz, how he was doing it. You know, even though I was there, I wanted to learn. Like, I'm just that type of person.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's how I got into it, but... as a solo career, I got into it when I decided to get clean and come down to South Florida.
Okay. When was that?
Like, I was never successful until then. I tried to venture out when I was getting high. It just was not very good.
It's hard to do, yeah.
Now, did you grow up in Florida?
Yeah, yeah. Clearwater, next to Tampa.
Yeah.
So, actually, anyone that knows me, I got a big tattoo of it right on my arm.
Yeah, it's also the tattoo capital of the world, too, is Florida, so.
Is it? Pretty much.
I've been in that business a long time too, and there's a lot of my friends are still down there tattooing. So,
at what point? What made you decide?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, hon.
Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah, it could be that Florida or California would be the tattoo capital. So I would believe that.
Yeah. No, what made you decide to get clean?
So, the last night I was using. Mm-hmm. I did a show. This was like probably my first or second solo show ever by myself, right? Up in Clearwater. And I was just miserable. I did the show Dope Sick whole time. I was on stage, got off, I puked before. I left the club, I finally got my fix. And the only thing I remember is going home and going in the bathroom and looking at, for some reason I decided to look in the mirror this night, which was the biggest mistake ever. Well, it was very good for me, but for my addiction side, it was a big mistake. I just remember looking in the mirror for some reason, which I never did in my addiction. And I just had enough, you know what I mean? Like, I was sick of violence. I was sick of having to depend on a drug. I was sick of waking up. I was homeless for much of that time. I was just sick of it. I just couldn't look myself in the mirror.
Right.
And I didn't even get high. I flushed it, actually.
Wow.
And I went online and I looked up like a detox. I really didn't know how to get help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I've heard people say, like, you can go online and say, look at detox, and I want the detox. It's probably in detox 5 hours later.
Wow.
But
wow,
I mean,
quick.
There's one of the benefits of being in Florida.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, well, even where I'm from, there's not many, but there's enough where, yeah, it was quick enough. But it just came down to, I'm a firm believer of, you know when you're done.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But it also comes down to, do you kind of have the balls to actually make that phone call, which most people are scared to do. I didn't necessarily know I wanted to stay clean the rest of my life, but I knew at that moment that I was just done doing what I was doing. So.
That's amazing. Now, at what point did you get connected with Raw? Like, at what point did you decide to start that?
So, I guess we can explain this whole time. So, when I came down here the first time in 2010, right?
Okay.
Which is only 4.5 hours from Clearwater, by the way. So it wasn't that far, but it was far enough to get me away. When I came down here in 2010, I've been to like 4 rehabs before that. When I said I didn't know there was like help, I meant like good help.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because every other time, like, this is how sad my life was. I used to sell drugs to my own mother.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, and she knew what I did. My whole family did, like, sold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I used to go because my mom, who was a bad junkie, was like, hey, you have a problem, buddy.
Right.
Oh my
and
God.
I would be like,
you know it's bad, when.
Right. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? So I'd be like, all right, I'll go. So I never went for myself. This time I went for myself. And I kind of have to develop you to how we all got involved. So I came down here in 2010, went to rehab, went to a halfway, blah, blah, blah. When I got out of rehab, you know, I always wanted to take the music to another level. I had the knowledge to do it. Now I had the clear mind to do it. So last time I was clean, I stayed clean for almost 3.5 years, right?
Right.
And I ended up relapsing because last time I stayed clean more out of spite. Because when I left rehab, all my therapists told the dude when they picked me up for the halfway that I wouldn't make it a week.
Wow.
So I am kind of that spiteful guy.
Well, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I still am. So I almost did it more of every time I saw a therapist that whole almost 3.5 years, I'd be like, screw you, I'm still clean.
Right. I'm miserable, but I'm clean.
Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I was miserable because I wasn't grateful.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, the first 2 years, did I give it a decent shot? Yeah, I did steps, and I went to meetings consistently. But I never meant any of it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was never like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to be clean. Like, I just didn't.
Yeah.
And you know, a big issue last time is old behaviors creeped on me again, where I ended up developing a really good solo career. So, in music on my own, I've toured the country with half of the people everyone listens to on the radio.
That's amazing.
You know, last time I was clean, I toured with Nappy Roots, Field Mob. I've done a show with Jeezy, Hobson.
Get out of here.
Like, all these
see, I didn't
people.
Know that. That's cool.
So, but the problem was his old behaviors creeped in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I was out there and I got back into, I guess you would say, my gangster ways. But the funny thing is now that I'm clean this time,
mm-hmm.
like it was all a facade.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like all the violence and all this stuff was trying to find a family because I came from a broken home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, let me do this stuff because I'm scared of you and I don't want to get hurt
right.
first.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I put on that image the last year of my clean time. I was living dirty the last year.
Yeah.
I went out.
Yep.
So I went on a run for a year and 4 months here down here in South Florida. I was homeless like the whole time. When I got clean, I had 18 abscesses in my arm.
Wow.
It was pretty disgusting. But in saying that, this is kind of how Raw started. So when I got clean again, instantly, obviously being an addict, I was like, okay, I want to jump right back into music, right?
Right.
Literally, I got out of rehab.
Of course.
I'd say probably an hour after I got out of rehab, you know, I got a call saying, hey, do you want to go on tour with so-and-so? Literally, I just got out of rehab. And I was like, you know, obviously my first instinct was to say yes.
Yeah.
But I also knew better because I've had clean time before. And I was like, you know what? And, like, and they were offering pretty good money, too. And I was like, I can't do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was like, I literally just walked out of rehab. There's like, no way. I'm going to go on this tour.
Right.
So Raw was one way because I promised myself I would wait until I was ready to do music. You know what I mean? I wanted to work on myself. Because I obviously knew the way my mindset was last time, I had to change something.
Right.
So I waited, what do I have, a little over 2 years now. I would say I waited until about a year. Okay. And then I felt I was ready to jump into music again. So it came down to a decision where Raw, where it was, I was like, okay, I can go do this gangster, you know, crap again.
Right.
And I can go spread this negative message and influence all these kids and put on this image why I'm clean, which kind of makes no sense. Which I realized this time. Last time I thought I looked cool, like, doing this still. And I was like, eh. You know, I got clean this time. I was like, yeah, it kind of looks like an idiot. I'm like clean, but I'm sitting here this gangster image. And
right.
So Raw was formulated how I got involved because I had an idea of why don't I help addicts develop a professional music career? You know what I mean? Like, no one does it.
Right.
Everyone, like, see, the thing that drives me nuts is that I hate local artists who think they know what they're doing. And it just, they right. drive
There's
me
so
insane.
Many of them, yeah.
Because
There's
no, many of them.
No one, none of them know anything about how the music industry works. Like, even if I could do a whole show on how grimy the behind the scenes of the music industry is, especially towards women.
Oh yeah,
like women, you don't even want to know what like real record labels do to women.
Oh yeah, no,
like it's disgusting.
Yep.
Like to get a contract, but so I was like, why don't I sit here and go to some investors and start it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why can't I be that guy to give addicts a chance? You know? And then I'll also, for myself personally as an artist, I was like, why don't I spread a positive message? Because I know, actually, it's funny, we're going on tour with Bubba Sparks in March for a nationwide tour,
That's
right?
That's amazing.
One of the songs I heard while I was using
was Bubba Sparks actually does a lot of recovery music now. Mm-hmm. And someone showed me, they were like, hey, have you ever heard this song? And it kind of like, I don't want to say that's what kind of sparked me starting to get the interest to get clean again. But it like, it hit me. You know what I mean? Like while I was using, I was like, wow, this is deep. I was like, this is like me. You know what I mean? So I sat there, I was like, well, why can't I do that? You know what I mean? Why can't I spread that message? Mm-hmm. Why can't I write lyrics that actually have addicts relate? Because there's no one who has ever done that before.
Have you ever,
artists that'll do songs.
Have you ever like rewritten some of your old music or rewritten some of your old lyrics to more recovery-based? You know, because sometimes you have people going out, you know, that recovering musicians, and they'll play some of the stuff back that they did while they were using, even in the rock and roll side. And they either change it or they try to change the meaning of it. While they're back on tour.
I really, like, my stuff was, like, that, like, bad where I don't think I could even do that.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I was listening. Know what I mean? I've been listening to some of your older stuff, too.
I can't really take a song that's, like, I ride for my city, I die for my city. Like,
yeah.
I can't.
Right.
And talking about, like, whipping coke in the kitchen.
Yep,
like,
that's the one
work.
I listened to on my way here, actually, this morning.
So it's like, no, I've never done that, but, like, that's why, like, I redevelop myself as an artist into, like, a positive. You know what I mean? I'd rather go down, whether I make a lot of money or not, I would rather go down as an artist that's known that spread a good message, you know what I mean, than that negative stuff that is what's wrong with this country right now.
Right.
Now, like, you gotta think, how many kids get into violence because they hear a rap song? That's part of my story. On my new EP that I just dropped, there's a song called When Music Was My Friend.
Yep.
And it's about a big part of my gangster side of me was all these rappers I was listening to. One day I woke up and I was like, whoa, I'm living this. Like, what is
right,
this?
Right, that's what they
like,
do.
This isn't me. And I was influenced by it. So I didn't want to be that guy anymore. You know what I mean? Just me personally. I was like, I can't do it.
No, we need more people like you. Because that's huge right now. I mean, that's part of my story, like, as a teenager. That whole like sex, drugs, rock and roll thing.
Right.
It was like, you know, I became that cliche because that's, you know, what I was being told to do. That's what I was attracted to.
Yeah, and I think
and it's like, it's not even who we are.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, that was, our mission, Carrie and mine, you know, the mission was also to bring out, again, try to highlight musicians in recovery that have a positive message, show sobriety is something really cool to be. You know, and trying to do it through music, I think that's a big thing because that's a lot of, we're getting more positive response from music than anything else right now.
Yeah. I just want to be that different guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to, because, and you got to think too, another reason I did it is hip hop is so stigmatized, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Where, It's an industry that's different from any other music industry. No matter how good you are in hip hop, even the big guys, right? Sorry. For every million people that like them, like 10 million or 20 million hate that artist.
Yeah.
But when you go to rock, it's more like 90% love them and 10% hate them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like I wanted to start something in an industry that's like the most hated industry anyway. You know what I mean? Because now it even stirs more controversy where not only am I in a hated industry, but I'm doing something positive. So, you know, a lot of them hate that too.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? That I'm trying to take the negative out of it. So.
That was actually one of the questions I had for you. Like, have you gotten criticism by being a, you know, positive rapper per se?
Depends from who.
Right.
I'm not shocked because last time I was clean, like people knew I was clean. And so they respected it. I was actually shocked how many people respected it. But from a more musician standpoint, it seems like a lot of them respect it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they do the other stuff, like everyone knows an addict. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah.
Even if you're a drug dealer, you know tons of addicts. You know, drug dealers, people don't think so, but behind closed doors, we, you know, at least before I became a junkie,
I used to feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's just, they've actually, it's been more respected than anything. You know what I mean? Obviously, yeah, there's some people that hate it. I mean, but those are more people that just hate my music in general, which I just don't care. Like, I am that guy who I'm like, right. Yo, you don't like my music? Like, kick rocks.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if I have one fan or a million. You know what I mean? As long as one person hears the message, that's all I care about.
It's funny because I thought of a story when you were talking about, you know, dealers and having their own, you know, conscience or, you know, whatever. Years ago, I was an inpatient for my addiction, and I actually ended up in there with one of my old dealers, and I didn't really remember him. He was like one of the side guys, and he came up to me. He's like, hey, you know, I remember you. You used to come to the spot over on this street here. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I've always thought about you over the years. Like, I just, you've stuck out to me and I always felt bad for you. Years later, like 10 years later, he found me on Facebook and he sent me another message saying, hey, hope you're doing well. I've never forgotten about you. You know, I still feel bad to this day for selling you dope, all this stuff. And I'm like, man, that's, you know?
That's a lot of, I mean, that's impactful.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
Some people just have it, like, you were dealing with your own addiction. You were selling and had your own addiction, you know?
So what are you doing? I mean, what's going on? Can you, are you going on tour soon or?
Well, yeah, with Bubba Sparks.
Yeah, with
Bubba Sparks. Man, we have a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Yeah, and how can, like, our listeners, you know, do you have, like, get in touch with your Facebook page or any kind of website do you have?
So, let's see what's going on. Well, if you guys want to look us up, or if you want to look up the label, which will lead you to all of us, we just use social media.
Yep.
There is a website coming in maybe like 6 months, but you really don't even need to do that anymore.
No.
Okay. You know what I mean? And that's part of, you know, a thing with Raw too is not to toot my own horn here, but
toot away.
Anyone that knows you would tell you my marketing is just one of a kind. You know what I mean? And if you know how to do it, you can just use social media. Yep. That's all we do. But mm-hmm. if you guys go to Facebook and type in Recovering, not Recovery, because everyone always says that,
yep.
Recovering with an ING, Artist, which is plural, Worldwide, that's the label's fan page. If you personally want to look up me, you go to Facebook and just type in Bobble, like a bobblehead, Music, M-U-Z-I-K.
Okay.
And that's my fan page. I'm literally, my job is Facebook. Yeah. I am on Facebook 24/7.
I know, I constantly see notifications. Bobble posted. I'm like, there's Bobble again. It's good, yeah. Though, people, you're getting your message out.
Yeah, yeah. But that's how you find us. Let's see, what's going on with Raw? See, I know everything because I'm the management side. So January 28th. Our female singer, our new female singer, is dropping her first EP called The Diaries of a Lost Child.
Okay.
So that'll be released worldwide on Amazon, iTunes, every digital site worldwide. It's a really good EP, actually. I am not really a guy that likes poppy music or anything like that, but her EP is probably one of the best CDs I've ever heard. She just has a lot of talent. We also have all of us decided to come together, the three of us on the label, and make a mixtape.
Okay.
Where it's different than any of our types of music any of us do. Like, that's the fun part about being an artist, is I can experiment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I can literally do any genre of music. So we have a mixtape that will be free to everybody just as our way of giving back. That comes out the same day, January 28th.
Okay.
It's going to be on all the streaming sites. So it's going to be something you can go listen to for free. There's no charge to, you know, you don't have to buy it. Then let's see what else we got. March, we are doing an overdose awareness tour with Bubba Sparks. So it's a nationwide tour.
Yeah.
It's 15 dates. So we're literally hitting the whole country.
Are you going to be in New York at all?
No, that's the one part. Okay, let me not say we're hitting the whole country. The only part we are not hitting is the Northeast.
Okay.
Okay.
But we are hitting the South, Midwest, West Coast. it's 15 stops. I mean, the problem with the Northeast is, you know, this is what people get twisted to. What we do is for a good cause, and, you know, if I showed you all of our inboxes, so what we do and does save lives, and I have evidence of it, right?
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, what people get twisted, and especially since anything with recovery, if someone makes money off of it, like, I don't know why, people are like, oh, it's wrong.
And it's right.
Like, do you work for free? It's like, do you work for free? Well, no.
Exactly.
So the problem becomes with the Northeast is we haven't had someone that wants to book us in the Northeast.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But we are trying to work on now, and in the next tour, where we're going to stop at least at Philly,
okay,
in that area.
Okay.
I would love to come to New York.
Yeah, and we had talked at one point. We just started. We went live in June. We've been in operation since 2014, but we don't have funds yet because we want to get you guys out here at some point too. Once we have more funds,
because we're trying to promote shows out here through Sober Life Radio. So that would be we would actually contact you, you know, as we get closer to the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing becomes too is because it's a business, and you know, I'm always honest with people. I don't run from anything.
Of course.
Because we have like a big buzz, like, yeah, it costs some money. We're also traveling from Florida.
Right.
Right.
Well, it makes sense.
You know what I mean? We like, see, this is all I do for a living, but like Joe and Jenna still work, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like to have them take off 4 or 5 days of work to travel. It's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Some people don't get that. Like we get all these fundraisers, hey, come do this. And we're like, sure, but you got to cover it like this.
Oh,
you know
sure.
what I mean? And people get all like butthurt and like, yeah. This. You know what I hate is when people in recovery try to manipulate still.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
What do they say? Give back as it was freely given to you. it's like, listen, dude. Like, I go to meetings. I give back all the time
right.
What I'm supposed to give back. When it comes to me living and feeding my daughter, no way.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, yeah. And that's one thing, like, artists always get messed up, too, is... If you are a professional artist, there is nothing done for free.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
You have to know your worth.
Exactly.
It's just the reality of it.
Well,
and when people get to... Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, we got about a minute left, but I was just going to say, you know, well, you know, once it's feasible for us, we definitely want to get Raw down here. So we'll stay in touch, you know, keep a professional relationship because I'd love to get you guys down here or up here, I should say.
Because we actually use other people's money to fund acts.
I mean, that's a smart way to do it. Though.
Right.
Yeah.
We get people to actually underwrite a lot of the stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys don't mind me plugging one last thing.
No, here, plug away. We'll go out on your last plug here.
So the overdose awareness tour we are doing in March, it's with Bubba Sparks. We usually tour nationwide by ourselves, but we wanted to have a bigger impact because obviously the more people, that means the more lives you can touch with our message.
Yeah.
So we have a GoFundMe up right now. As you guys said, we have raised about, I think it's like $65,000.
We got about 10 seconds
but
left
we
here.
We need about 15 more. So we have a GoFundMe out that helps fund the tour so we can spread the message. If you guys want to look it up, you can go to my pages. The GoFundMe is on there. Every $5 helps fund the tour.
All right, and we'll post a link to that. So thank you so much, Babbo, for being on our show. We really appreciate it.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Take care.
Thank you very much.